Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
A year ago this past Friday, Hurricane Maria slammed into Puerto Rico, destroying homes and businesses and knocking out power on the island for months. According to researchers at George Washington University, Maria killed almost 3,000 people, many of whom died in the weeks and months following the deadly storm. Among them, 78-year-old Ivan Ramos, a lawyer, father, and grandfather who lived in San Juan. His daughter, Tere Ramos, a lawyer who lives outside of Boston, came in to tell us about her father. She says Ivan Ramos survived the early days of the storm, but he had a chronic medical condition that left him unable to fight infection. And so he became one of Maria's many victims. Tere Ramos says her dad died 40 days after the storm hit.
He had been very successfully managing it until the life conditions in Puerto Rico were such that he caught a cold and it became pneumonia and he just couldn't fight it off.
Well, I'm very sorry. What was it like for your father right after the hurricane hit?
My parents were very lucky in that they live in a very safe neighborhood in an extremely safe house. So we felt right after the hurricane that they were pretty unscathed. But what we learned afterwards was that the aftermath was much worse than the storm. By the second, third day, it became very clear that the living conditions were so difficult that his life was at peril. And some of those things we have no control over. So, for example, the heat after Maria was quite strong. There were an incredible increase in the number of mosquitoes, very aggressive mosquitoes. Many of them carried dengue and chikungunya and other diseases, which would be fatal to him. There were rains the week or 2 weeks after Maria, which caused a flooding in many neighborhoods. And that meant that if you had to go outside to turn on a generator or to open a gate to be able to leave the house, you were constantly getting wet. And then during the day, it was scaldingly hot.
Tere, you went down there, right, shortly after
Yes.
the hurricane hit. So what did you find? I mean, what was a typical day like for you?
I'd leave the house 6 a.m., go to the store, and then you kind of go in the scavenge to see what you could find to make sure that you were prepared for anything. So one day you'd find bread, then another day you'd find a treat, and you basically live to live.
Wow, so a real struggle for survival, basically.
Yeah, and we had much better conditions than 99% of Puerto Ricans, and still just living became their chore, their daily chore.
Now, in the aftermath of the storm, the reported death toll changed drastically over time. First, it was 16, then 34, then finally 64 was the official number accepted by the Puerto Rican government until just recently, after researchers at George Washington University reported 2,975 deaths, nearly 3,000 as a result of the hurricane. Why do you think it took so long for this death toll to be arrived at?
I don't know. And it's the hard thing that everybody asks because people in Puerto Rico knew what was going on. You heard stories of other friends with family members in the hospital and people dying and people laying in the hallways of hospitals without being able to receive medical help. And the question that everybody wants to know is understanding that it's not a big place and everybody knows what everybody else is doing. Why there was such a sense of disbelief and unwillingness to listen to the people that were trying to make a change and an understanding of it?
Well, I want to ask you about your response to President Trump. He's been criticized for the way he responded to the crisis. For example, when he went down, we saw him tossing paper towels to a crowd of Puerto Ricans in San Juan. And here he is at an October 2017 press conference during that visit.
Every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. Now, what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands.
Now, in fairness, that was back in October 2017, but he continues to express skepticism about the number of deaths. Just this past Friday, he tweeted, 3,000 people killed? No way. What do you think about the way the president is responding to this?
You know, I think that it's American history in Puerto Rico shows us that, unfortunately, the government hasn't always had the response that it needs to give. Trump and the Republican Party has made it a point to turn its back. And at the same token, I feel like the Democratic response has been tepid at best.
I know you went back to Puerto Rico in July. What did you see? What's the state of things now? What needs to happen still?
A lot needs to happen. The most pressing one is that thousands of people are still living with blue tarps on their roofs. When I was there, there was an announcement that a storm was coming, and people were scared because the truth is that they don't have a way to weather a storm with a blue tarp on their roof. I think that the U.S. needs to step up their FEMA response. My mother put in a request for FEMA funds. They never acknowledged the fact that my father died out of a Maria-related death, so they denied that. And her response, sadly enough, is what everybody else seems to have. It's more the exception than the rule when someone has received aid.
So we're marking the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Maria hitting Puerto Rico. Given that that led to the death of your father, what's the anniversary mean to you? How are you thinking about it?
It's actually been a year of a lot of thought, but I see today as a day of reckoning and as a day of think of what can I do better and what should we be doing better so these stories don't repeat themselves.
Hmm. Well, Tere Ramos, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tere Ramos is a lawyer who lives in Wellesley. Her father, Ivan Ramos, was also a lawyer. He died in San Juan, Puerto Rico, as a result of Hurricane Maria. He was 78. Stay with us. Coming up, Congressman Joe Kennedy on the coming midterm elections and the future of the Democratic Party. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.